Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start in a chapter in one of the Gospels, John chapter 16. Jesus talking to his disciples about something that's going to be coming down the pike very soon for them. He says in verse 13, how it says, however, when he, the Spirit of, for, the verse before that actually says, he says, there's some things I'd really like to tell you guys, but you can't handle it right now. You can't bear it. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So we see that Jesus is basically prophesying about the fact that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and he was going to play an integral role in their personal lives. In a big role, when you look at it, he'll lead and guide you into all truth. That's not just some truth, not just a certain theology or a theoretical point. All truth. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And we see later on when the Apostle Paul talks of this in Romans, he says, I had it. There we go. Must have a little bit of a delay. Okay. Romans chapter 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, again, that's the same Holy Spirit Jesus was saying would come. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you did receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's a powerful statement. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, that word spirit there is the word pneuma, your most inward man. He doesn't bear witness even with your psuche. It doesn't say he bears witness with your mind or your emotions. He bears witness with your spirit. It's not a feeling or a temporary. Sometimes people will look at Christians and say, oh, you're kind of on your emotional high or whatever. And actually, your assurance of salvation is not an emotional assurance. It's a deeper assurance than that. It bears witness with your spirit. There's a knowing on the inside that you're different, that you're changed, that God is there, that he loves you, that he's for you. And that's something that the Spirit, capital S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. That's one of the things that he has been sent to lead and guide us into, and that is the fact that you are the children of God. So when I call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of me, and the first truth that he guides me into or that he bears witness to is the fact that I am a child of God. That would be step one. He gives you that assurance, that knowing on the inside. But the cool thing is that Jesus said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So that same Spirit not only bears witness that I'm a child of God, but the same Holy Spirit can bear witness to a lot of things. You know, you realize that in your life there are many times, it's kind of like the old show, I forget which one it is, you can choose door number one, door number two, or door number three. You know, and you got some really good showcases, and then one of those doors will have like a goat or something really, you know, a $0 prize. And so you're kind of rolling the dice and hoping to get the right door. Well, in life, we've got a lot of multiple choice situations that we come up against. You know, we've got job opportunities, relationship opportunities, schools, different things like that that you can choose from. And it's a matter of, you know, what do I do? Where do I go? Well, I'm so thankful, you know, God gave us his Holy Spirit to help us know what to do. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, I'm going to go away from you, But don't worry about it. I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm sending you the comforter. I'm not leaving you orphans. In other words, you're not down here to have to fend for yourself, run the math, and hope you get the right door on your own. He said, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to lead and guide you into all truth. Now, this is very different than the way it had been for thousands of years, because under the old Jewish system, really, it was the prophets, the priests, and the kings that had the relationship with the Holy Spirit on them, and then they would, in turn, once they got the word of the Lord, they would direct the people. But on this side of the cross, where Jesus is raised from the dead, it's not like an echelon of leadership that is directing all the people anymore. Now every single person has the same authority to hear from God for themselves. He's given us pastors and teachers and you know, gifts like, you know, the body of Christ, prophets, different things like that. But ultimately, why are we even here? We're not here to tell you what to do with your life. In fact, the scripture strictly forbids pastors, people like me, from lording over the flock of God. He doesn't want pastors to play the role of the Holy Spirit. He's jealous of that. Do you know that? God wants pastors and ministry gifts to preach the word, let you know what's in the word, but then help you to facilitate your own walk with the Lord, to hear from God for yourself, because he loves you. He lives in you, and there is nothing more satisfying than hearing from God for yourself and doing what he's told you to do. That's when this personal relationship with Jesus really gets personal. It's when you're hearing from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. This is a very important truth, and a lot of times as we're endeavoring to hear from God, we are basically endeavoring to hear and get a sense of that witness of the Spirit of God. There's an action right there in verse 16 that says, bears witness. That's kind of a, what does that look like in real life? You got to understand that on the inside, you know, your innermost man, you're a spirit being. All right? So I've kind of gone over this ground before. There's your pneuma, your psuche. Your psuche, your mind, your will and emotions. There's communication there. But the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. And you get that spirit stuff, and the spirit communicates to your mind, and all of a sudden it comes across in a language and an understanding that you get. But the communication originates from God's spirit to your spirit. And that's why when we'll go over ground a lot of times, stay spiritually minded. Set your mind on things above. You know, why do we set our mind on things above? You really, the number one reason why we set our mind on things above, why we get in the Word of God, why we get prayer focused, looking unto Jesus, really it tunes you to hear what's going on, tunes you up here to hear what's going on in here. All right? The Spirit of God is speaking to your spirit. And what happens is you get quiet and you can hear what the Spirit is saying on the inside of you. The Spirit bears witness already that you're a child of God. He'll bear witness with other things. And we're going to look today at a little bit how that works, how that bearing witness piece works in real life. That's kind of our little moniker here at Door of Life, where faith meets real life. We want to take some of these concepts that are way out here and bring them back down into a real practical sense to where you can get a good sense of, okay, is the Spirit of God leading me in some direction? Is he really bearing witness? So as we're talking about that this morning, the title of the message this morning is simply called Waiting on the Witness, okay? The Spirit's going to do the action of bearing witness. And there is going to be a time that we're going to have of waiting on the witness. We're waiting for that witness of the Spirit of God. Do you know it's all right to not know what to do? In fact, it's humility to say, I really don't know. It's pride to launch out into something if you really don't know. And if you're willing to just wait and seek God and acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. We got a lot of pressure on us to have to know. But that pressure doesn't come from God. God gives you the green pastures. He gives you time to look out of the still waters to restore your soul. And then he'll lead you into that path of righteousness for his name's sake. But first things first, he might have you lie down on the couch for a while and put you back together and help you, heal you, strengthen you. And it's like, oh, good. Now what? Now I'm ready. He'll refresh you. He'll do different things. But a lot of times there's going to be a waiting on that witness. And so as we're looking at the concept of what I'm calling just waiting on the witness, there's going to be, first of all, what we'll call waiting on the notification. If I'm going to wait on the witness, I've got to trust and believe that God has the ability to notify me when he's talking to me. I got to believe that I'm really waiting on a notification that he will. Here's just a couple scriptures along those lines. This is a scriptural premise why I can believe that. I love this. Philippians 1 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippians. He says, always in every prayer of mine, we're making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the one who began this good work, and he's the one who's going to complete it. It means that he is actively involved in this building project. And you may be in a certain phase of your building project, and when the next phase is ready, he is going to alert you. He is working together, you know, with you, working in you to will and to do, but he is actively playing a role to alert you, to let you know. And here's another scripture kind of along these lines. We actually quoted it this morning in worship. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's really comforting to know. That, again, I'm not down here to fend for myself and to figure it all out. He began this good work. He's going to complete it. He authored it. He's going to finish it. I'm looking to him. I'm getting my signals for him. You know, he is the, I guess if you think of a, you know, like a building project, or, you know, you've got kind of your master, I don't know what you call that guy, general contractor. He kind of takes care of all the other pieces under him, right? But he's the orchestrator, and he sequences it out and does that. Well, he is the general contractor, praise God, of my life. I don't have the big picture, but I know that, you know, he said, all right, praise God, time to lay the carpet. Now we're going to lay the carpet. But there are going to be things and seasons in my life that I'm going to get notified from him that will kind of register on me, emphases, you know, that, okay, but you've got to believe, you got to trust in his, I just like to put it this way, you got to trust in his ability to notify you. You know, I teased Julie about her phone. She's got a certain text notification. I can always tell when Julie's getting a text. It's kind of like, or something like that. I've got more of a subtle buzz, you know. I know when I'm getting a text, but I know when Julie's getting a text. There's a notification, and it just, okay, and what does it do? It kind of gets you out of your routine. It alerts you. Incoming message, there's something, you know, that you need to check up on here. And the witness of the Holy Spirit, he's got that. He's got a notification. He's got a sound. And it can come across different ways, but it'll get you out of your routine. But at the same time, you got a choice. Here's kind of a great Old Testament example, more of a dramatic example, yet it starts out kind of subtle. In Exodus, this is Moses. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, okay, just doing his deal every day, came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Okay? He's doing his deal, minding his own business. He sees this thing. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. You know, you think of this story and you just think God is, there's a few steps here. First of all, Moses is doing his deal. He's doing his deal, his regular routine, is tending the flock and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, kind of out of the blue, he gets the bush burning thing. And then at that point, he's got a decision to make. This is really cool. This is amazing. But you can kind of see, almost kind of thinking to himself in verse 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. There was a deliberate action. He was interrupted in his day by something that was out of the ordinary. And then he said, okay, I'm putting the sheep, the flock on hold, and I'm going to turn and look. After he turned, isn't it interesting, verse 4 says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, then God called from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. It didn't happen all at once. It happened in two steps. What if Moses would have said, oh, that's really amazing. That's cool. Yeah, that's really good. Maybe when I'm done with the sheep here, I might go back and take a look at that later, at the end of the day. You know, when you get alerts from the Lord, you get thoughts, and a lot of times it'll kind of register like that. You're kind of going throughout your day, and you'll get some profound thought out of the blue. It could be about God, could be about your life, could be about a situation, and it's like, wow, that's really good. Yeah, that's really good. Maybe I should write that down. Oh, I'll remember that. You kind of go on throughout your day. What was that thing that the Lord said? There are notifications that the Lord will give you. And the cool thing of it is, when you respond to that notification, you know, when it's the text signal, you know, at that point, you're just hearing the sound. Then you got to decide to turn aside from your day and look at what's actually in the text. And then you really get communication. And so you kind of go throughout your day and you kind of get these thoughts. And it's like we get these opportunities. They're notifications. And sometimes we're saying, why doesn't God speak to me? God is endeavoring to speak to us. He's endeavoring to get through to us. But it's not going to be a real big dramatic thing. It's going to be a spirit-bearing witness with your spirit. It's going to be a subtle notification. But when you begin to turn aside and say, okay, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to check that out. That's when you begin to get some pretty cool things happening in your life. I remember for me, one time this happened, I had a car issue. My car was, I was going to school at the time, was in Rhema student housing, and I had a problem with my oil pan in my car, and it was leaking, and I was just couldn't figure out how in the world I was going to get this thing fixed. I had a mechanic look at it, a Christian mechanic look at it, and said, you know, it's going to be like a $400 job. It's a certain kind of a oil pan and all that stuff. You know how that goes. Oh, you got that make and model of car. Oh, yes. That was a very bad year. So I guess it was one of those deals, and I was, you know, trying to figure out, had to get that particular oil pan and all this, and I had no idea what I was going to do because I just didn't have the extra money at the time. And I remember I was in church, and Pastor Hagen was just preaching a message, you know, along the lines of you being a new creation and how the old passed away and all became new. And I remember just having the thought, because I was just in part of my makeup was, you know, Ed, the bad luck car guy. I mean, I just kind of had that mentality. You know, you have different areas in your life you just kind of feel like, yeah, it's my lot in life. And you, whether it's consciously or not, you kind of carry that around. I remember the Holy Spirit kind of shining the light on you. If the old passed, if all became new, then I can begin to see my life new in every area. I can give myself permission to hope and see things different in my life. And I just remember in that service kind of making a little heart adjustment. You know how you do in a service? You just begin to, the Holy Spirit shows you something, you begin to make some adjustments. Okay, I'm changing. And I just remember saying, okay, Lord, no, that is gone. That has passed away. This is new. You are Lord over my whole life, and I can trust you with every area of my life. And I remember just making that adjustment and then coming out of the service that morning, and all of a sudden in my mind, it was almost like a flash. And it was like I could hear it and see it. The Lord just spoke rubber bands to my mind. And I just saw rubber bands. And all of a sudden I heard that, and I could just see it in my mind. And all of a sudden I saw a picture of rubber bands around the little bolt in my oil pan keeping the oil from leaking out. I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years. I have zero auto mechanical inclinations. And I've got bills to prove that, you know, from years past. But I was just walking out, all of a sudden I just saw that. I thought, wow, that's an amazing thought. You know, and then I thought, you know what? We had, at that time, was a little get and go right across from the church there. That I'm going to check that out. I went to the get and go, and sure enough, there was, you know, like 59 cents worth of little rubber, bag of rubber bands. And I went and got them, and I bought them, and I went over to student housing, and I got into the car, and I'm sure it looked a little goofy, but I just started putting these little rubber bands on there, and just really tight, and then just like a little wad. And then pretty soon, you know, I thought, well, here it goes, and put the oil in again. And lo and behold, it held it. It was amazing. And I thought, wow, that is really, really cool. Lord, thank you. But it was like a notification, and kind of, you know, as I went on, of course, the end would heat up, and the rubber bands would start breaking off, but I had my bag of rubber bands, and I would go on there, and I'd keep it up there, and my oil light wasn't coming on, but it was a maintenance, you know. But, and I was telling a friend of mine, you know, at work, you know, that later that week, and he said, oh, Ed, oh, yeah, you know, you just need to take your car to Dewey. He'll get you fixed up. Dewey, okay, yeah, and he said, yeah, take him to, he gave me the address, and I drove the car to Dewey, and he's probably like this 77-year-old guy who just, you know, he loves the Lord, and just auto mechanics is just his whole life. It helped, you know, musicians and famous Christian musicians with their cars and their auto issues, and he went under there, and he looked under my car, and he just started to laugh, and he said, ah, you must have a dollar's worth of rubber bands on that thing. I said, well, it's about 59 cents, but you're pretty close. He said, oh, it's nothing. He went back to his little shop, and he came back with this self-threading bolt, and he just ripped the old one out, and he put the new one in there as good as new. I was going, wow, thank you so much. He said, what does that cost? He said, oh, don't even think about it. Just go on. Just glad to help. God bless you. Thinking, wow, I was so happy. You know, you're thrilled. Yeah, I saved myself $400, which I was trying to figure out where I was going to get. But I heard from God. You know, that's been even more valuable to me through the years. Learning how to hear from God, learning that He alerts me. Little things. But you got to turn aside. What if I thought, I don't know, rubber bands, where did that? They'd probably come off in a day, and who cares, go on down the road. I could have, but not that I haven't, and other ideas that He's given me, but that was one time where I've turned aside, and I thought, wow, could this be? And it's amazing how when you turn aside, then you get the next step. You know, you get more. That's the same with Moses. He saw something, but he said, okay, I'm going to stop the flock thing. I'm going to take some time, break my routine, turn aside, see this great sight, and then when the Lord saw that He turned aside, then He said, Moses, Moses. Almost makes you wonder if there might have been some other people that saw the great sight and went on down the road. Lord is waiting for somebody to see it, stop what they were doing, turn aside, give him his full attention so he could tell him what to do next. We got to believe as we're waiting on the witness. Step one is just to wait on the notification. You know, realize that God has the ability to get your attention, okay? And getting your attention, it doesn't have to be something tragic or dramatic. In fact, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. It's most of the time, it's subtle. It's going to be something that's going to reflect on your thoughts, that's going to be kind of out of the blue, but something that is profound, something that you realize is bigger than your natural, normal reasoning. So there's a waiting on the notification. There's also a waiting sometimes on the confirmation. Waiting on the confirmation. Here's a great story in the Old Testament again, too. I love this, where you see Samuel. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim, he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli. Here I am, you called me? So in other words, the Lord is calling Samuel, but Samuel thinks it's Eli. So Samuel's going to Eli to say, okay, here I am, you called me? And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. He went to lie down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel.
So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, he's a young guy, he just doesn't know any better. He says, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he went and arose to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, for it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now when the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Wow, that's quite a call. But here you see somebody who just doesn't know better. But what do you see here? Also, something about the heart and the character of God. He is persistent. You know, that's another thing about the notification. It's not, God is not, when he gives you a notification, it's, like we said, you can turn aside, you can choose to pursue it or not pursue it. But the awesome, love, wonderful thing about the loving heart of God is that he will give you many opportunities. A lot of times there will be repetition. Praise God for that. Amen. Yes, most of us don't get it. Most of us don't get the first burning bush. See, about after the seventh burning bush, we're going, I might have to turn aside and take a look at this thing. We get that notification, you know, that sound or whatever it is that you get for your text notification, and you begin to get it, and it's like, okay, all right, I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to take a look at this thing. Maybe I need to pay attention to this. And praise God in his mercy and his grace, he does that for us. I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, "This will be the third time I'm coming to you by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word," that's rhema word, spoken word, "shall be established." Message says, well, this is my third visit coming up. Remember the scripture says, a matter becomes clear after two or three witnesses give evidence. A lot of times, as you're getting those rhema words, all right, you need to get some witnesses. You need to get some evidence. You need to get some clarification as you begin to go forward, as you begin to act on some of these things. And like I said, with the Lord, you know, I like one of our teachers at Rhema would say, you know, don't get all uptight. You know, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. That's a good word. God is not some anxious used car salesman trying to make you buy now or else. Isn't that good to know? In other words, there can be sometimes you get a notification, you think, is that God? I don't know. Lord, I'm not quite sure on this one. You know, Lord, I'm gonna put this on the back burner. And if that's you, if that's something you want me to, I just pray, say that again. Show me again. Show me again. I want to get it right. That's, again, this is being honest. God just wants us to be honest. You know, Samuel didn't really know. He knows where you're at. You know, hearing the voice of God is something that you will grow and develop in, as in anything spiritually. But what's important is to be honest with where you're at and not pretend you're somewhere where you're not, because that'll actually stunt your growth. But if you just say, okay, Lord, I think that's you. Yep, I can see it. It sounds like your word here. I got peace. I got, you know, that's really where we want to be. But he will give us a confirmation of that. It'll come through repetition. Remember the old, we watched, was it Sesame Street? Sesame Street is always brought to you by a letter and a number, right? And so I remember watching Sesame Street. My brother and I were a year apart, and they'd have that little segment where they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 5. Let's sing a song. You know, I'd be 5, my brother would be 4. Yeah, you know. So we'd want it to be our age. That was always the big deal, as we'd have our sibling rivalry over that part of Sesame Street every day. But then it was 5 cakes, it was 5 apples, it was 5 dinosaurs, it was 5 everything. And when God is confirming a word in you, it's like you begin to see it everywhere. My goodness, the preacher talked about it, and I saw it on TV, and they said it there, and it's the person next to you might not see it, but the Holy Spirit in you is working it out, and all of a sudden you're seeing it everywhere. We're talking about waiting on the witness. The witness of the Spirit of God will just be repetitive, like he was with Samuel. He'll be that way with you. I like to call it a Holy Ghost nagging, but it's a good nagging. You need it. He's nagging because he loves you, and he cares about you, and he doesn't want you to miss your burning bush. And so he's going to continue to alert you. You know, whatever that notification might be, you'll be hearing that, you know, at different times. But that's, thank God, that's the grace of God. And again, when you've got those multiple choice situations sometimes too, and you could go multiple directions, that's a huge blessing to get that confirmation. The Apostle Paul experienced that once during their missionary journeys where they were at a crossroads in their second missionary journey, where they could have went a few different directions, Asia, Bithynia, they could have went to Macedonia, and I'm sure maybe they all had opinions. And so they were just kind of going in some directions, but here's the account. I think I had that in a, I'm going to go ahead and just read it. I think I gave you two versions on the cloud, and I think it's the other one you got going on there. But if you want to look at it in your Bible, you want to follow along, it's in Acts chapter 16, and I believe it's just verses like 3 through 7 or something like that. But they're on their second missionary journey. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to be led by the Holy Spirit in their missionary journeys, and you know they don't see everything clearly. They're doing their best. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, when they, talking about Paul and his company, had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's interesting. They must have had Asia on their mind, in their heart, to conquer Asia with the gospel, but they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The world's a big place. A lot of places to go. And yet, the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So here's another one of those, door number one, door number two, door number 1,000. You know, but they're at this inflection point. They've probably got about a half dozen places, directions they can go. And so, you know, Paul looks at it and he's thinking, man, Asia would be huge. It'd be great. But in some form or fashion, through a spiritual gift or a prompting of the Spirit, they knew on the inside that they were not supposed to go to Asia. So in verse 7, it says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. All right. Door number one, door number two, door number three. Door number one, Asia. Door number two, Bithynia. Door number three, Macedonia. And that's just so much what life is like. Door number one, two, and three. And it's not like it's a sin to preach the gospel to people in Asia or Bithynia. This isn't a difference between what's right and wrong. This is like directional path stuff. So, you know, what they were doing, what they wanted to do, it was noble. It was right. It was a good, they had a great heart. You know, nothing wrong with wanting to preach. But you could see that the Spirit of God had a plan in that. And so, but the cool thing about it was, and we're talking about waiting on the witness, there's nothing wrong with, as you can see what these guys did, if they've got something in their heart and they're thinking, you know, the Lord has said go into all the world and there's Asia right there, ripe for the taking. You know, we've got the written word to go into all the world. We're going to begin to go in that direction. Now, again, for you, you might have three job opportunities, three whatevers, directional things. There's nothing wrong with going in a direction and checking your heart. A lot of times it's going to be kind of like I like to say, the game we'd play with our kids on Easter Sunday morning, hiding their Easter baskets. You know, we'd hide their Easter baskets, and if they're getting farther away, we'd say, you're getting cold, you're getting freezing. But if they're turning around, oh, you're getting a little warmer, 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 hot, you're burning up. And then it would be right there. But we kind of give them those clues. On the inside, you kind of get those same kind of clues too. as you begin to see something or perceive something, and you begin to make a move, there's nothing wrong with going the direction and just checking. You can Google it, research it, ask some people about it, maybe take a baby step in that direction like these guys were doing, and see what you get in the heart. You know, if all of a sudden, wow, I had peace before, now I've got even more peace. And, you know, it's kind of like coming to Door of Life. You know, we came here on a January, on a very frigid January morning in 2002, and it was really amazing. We had a service in the Diltz's living room. It was awesome. And we just sensed the presence of God, and it was really cool. And when it was done, we said, wow, that was great. Let's do this again next month. See what happens. It's good to have a good experience, but it's good to check things out, too. So, all right, we came back the next month. Same thing. Same when even a stronger sense and a stronger witness. You know, multitude of witnesses. Let every word be established. Especially when it's directional to stuff. And you're moving families and things. It's good to get multiple witnesses and things in your heart of things like that. And so that was one of those deals where we knew it. We knew that, okay, praise God. It was really time to go. It was really time to obey God. But you will get those opportunities to have multiple witnesses. And so what we were saying is like the Apostle Paul, they were going into that direction of Asia. And the Spirit forbade him. Nope, got to check. There's just something not right. I can't go in. Not great intentions, but... you know there's good works he's ordained you to walk in. And if you try to walk in somebody else's works that he's ordained them to walk in, you don't have the anointing to walk in the good works he's ordained somebody else to walk in. You have the anointing and the grace to walk in the good works he's ordained you to walk in. Epaphroditus almost died trying to supply what was lacking in the service of, I believe, that was the Philippians at the time when he was talking to him and just saying, you know, he was a great guy, but man, he almost died trying to fulfill your role. You can't do it. You ultimately got to walk in what God has called you to walk in. And so, again, nothing wrong with wanting to go into Asia, but you can begin to take those steps. And if you don't have it, nothing wrong. Pull back. And they, Bithynia, pull back. They waited. Macedonia, that was it, and they got it. But this is what I want you to see. It's not like they missed it. They missed it, and then they made it. They were right. No, they were right all three times. They stopped at the red light, and they stopped at the second red light, and they went at the green light of Macedonia. You're wrong when you run the red light and go anyway. That's when you're wrong. Nothing wrong with getting a red light. Apostle Paul got a couple of red lights in the middle of his second missionary journey. But I thought that was God, but you were wrong. Is that okay? You know, you're going to be wrong sometimes. You're going to really believe that's it. And you're just going to be flat wrong. That's why he is Lord of your life. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong in your heart. It doesn't mean that your intentions are bad. It just means that was not the direction he wanted you to go. And so we've got to realize that really, really spiritual, mature people who are doing things for God are wrong and admit they're wrong. And will stop when they sense that they're wrong. Praise God. Paul did that. We have to do that. We're going to come across those same inflection points again. No shame whatsoever about stopping at a red light. Again, this kind of goes back to my Ed Bad Luck car guy story. But before the rubber band incident, I had a situation where I had a multiple choice of cars. And I looked at the one I liked. And I had my friend come and check it out, Dan, to get his blessing and approval, because he was mechanically minded, like I said, I'm not. So he checked it out, looked under the hood, and he showed me point by point at least 5 points. He showed me the door where it was chipped, and he said, oh, that door was green. I know it's a beautiful silver coat here, but that was a green door. He took me under the alignment, and he showed me where it was just a little off. And then he showed me the engine, some spotting on the engine. He said it looked like it might have had water damage. And I was just, everything he was saying, I was just getting mad. I was getting mad at him. Because I love that. He had a beautiful paint job. I wanted that car. And Dan just said, you know, Ed, I just would not recommend you buying this car. It looks like it's been through some things that's been covered up here. I said, all right, Dan, thanks, bye. And, you know, I'm, what, 19, I don't know. But I ended up buying the car anyway. And I put 3 times what I paid for the car. The engine went out 3 times on that car. I mean, it was just pistons and every timing belts. I got an education on just about every part of the car. You know, a wiper blade went out on the car in the middle of a rainstorm. It was like every little thing that could go wrong went wrong. And do what I say, why God? No, I ran a red light. That's when you miss it. Getting a red light is not missing it. It's running the red light is when you miss it. You will get red lights and green lights. That's why you have a guide. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit isn't there to tell you you're right all the time. That spiritual ego stuff that we got to grow up and realize that we're not. I mean, you've come face to face with your own flesh. Hasn't this thing talked to you a few times where you go, whoa, got to show a little respect here. I need the Holy Spirit to help me navigate these things. I can get duped, have been duped. Thank God for my guide. Thank God for the Holy Ghost who's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. And finally, not only waiting on the confirmation, but waiting on the timing. Sometimes you can kind of get a sense, you can get a direction, you get a confirmation, but it's just not time. But thank God he'll show you things to come, but there's going to be sometimes a waiting period. Like I've shared too about even pastoring at Door of Life. I remember when I was 17 and a half years old, in my parents' backyard, on a little hill, by a certain bush, in the corner of the backyard, just saying, okay, Lord, I just received that call to the ministry. And I could sense pastoring in my heart. And Lord, I will do it. I will surrender my life to you to do that. When I was 17 and a half years old. And 17 and a half years later, I actually started pastoring a church, Door of Life. But little did I know at 17 and a half years old that it would be another 17 and a half years. But God shows you things to come to help prepare you. Now, it's not going to always be 17 and a half years. But there are going to be times when you are going to wait things out. He'll show you things. And we see this. Hebrews alludes to it. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you don't become sluggish, but imitate those. This is a New Testament exhortation. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. And as we look at some of these stories, it's amazing. Abraham had the promise of being the father of many nations. And 25 years later, lo and behold, Isaac was born. David waited probably right around 15 years or so from the time Samuel anointed him as king. The oil coming down his face till he actually walked in that place. Moses, he tried to take matters. Moses ran a red light. He tried to deliver Israel with his own hand, and he had 40 years in the backside of the desert. Praise God. He got that burning bush after 40 years. But praise God, then he saw how God was going to do it. But all these situations, or even Joseph. Joseph was, you know, from the time he dreamed his dream to the time he was living by Pharaoh, again, close to, you know, 13 to 15 years. God will put some dreams in your heart, and there is going to sometimes be a waiting period. And I love what our instructors would tell us at Bible school. They'd say, preparation time is never lost time. Don't despise preparation time. In fact, when you're finally out there and you're doing what you saw in that dream, you'll be very glad for every ounce of preparation that you had once you're out there. Because once you're out there, you're out there. And whatever that dream is, then you're there. But really begin to cherish. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me things to come. But there's going to be a waiting. There will just be a waiting. You know, you can see the season of your life you're in right now. And God may give you a glimpse of that next season. And it will excite you. Praise God. But at the same time, we still have to wait on the witness. We can be excited about it. We can prepare for it. But at the same time, I've got to have peace before I actually take that next step. That is part of it. Again, here Samuel, it says, but when he waited 7 days according to the time. Here's an example of somebody doing it wrong, an example of somebody doing it right. King Saul, he was given instructions by Samuel. I'll just go ahead and read it. When he waited 7 days, this is Saul, according to the time set by Samuel, But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So here you see a guy, a king, who's in this place, and he's given specific spiritual instructions to wait according to that. And he's feeling fear and pressure from people to have to act. I can't wait on the witness. He's saying, I can't wait on the witness. And in this allegory, you know, Samuel's the witness, and Saul's the waiter. And Saul needs to wait on the witness. He needs to wait. He needs to wait. Yeah, but there's pressure. But what about you need to wait on the witness? I'm glad Paul didn't go into Bithynia and just, no, he waited until he got it. Saul needed to wait until he got it. And this is the cool thing that you see in the ministry of Jesus. You see him talk about this relationship he has with the Father. This is what he says. Jesus says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. All right? It's kind of that same relationship that we see with us and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own authority, but whatever Jesus tells him, then that's what he speaks to us. That's what makes Jesus our Lord in a technical sense. He's calling the shots of our life through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But here we see Jesus is saying, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, I am basically waiting on the Father. I'm saying what I hear him say. I'm not here on my own authority. I'm not here to do my own will. He said, I'm doing what I hear, what I see, hear the Father say. That's what I'm speaking. So you can see Jesus has this relationship with the Father. It's the Father in me. He does the works. So Jesus actually models this for us. And here's a great situation. We saw where Saul got it wrong. Here's a great high-pressure situation where we see Jesus get it right. Now, early in the morning, he came again to a temple, and all the people were there to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? And so the pressure's on, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And like I said, you can be in these situations. We got an answer. We need a quick answer right now. But it's very amazing how Jesus handles this. This is really cool, what cool looks like in real life as far as somebody who's really, there we are. And they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, listen to this, as though he did not hear. So if you could kind of get a picture of this, you've got Jesus kind of doodling on the ground. Now people have speculated maybe he was writing in the ground their sins. Maybe he was writing something on the ground of the things that they were guilty of or whatever. It could have been. We really don't know. You can't say anything for sure. But all you see is Jesus just writing on the ground as though they weren't even saying anything to him. So when they continued asking him, they're still asking, and he's still doodling. Well, I know one thing about whatever Jesus is about to say next. He's going to say whatever he hears the Father say. But isn't it kind of cool that you just kind of almost see him waiting here? Just waiting. And that's the cool thing of it is then when you get what the Father says, then you see him stand up. Nothing like waiting and getting it. He waits, he says, okay, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. That was it. They all had to go home after that. But you see a picture of a man. Saul got impatient because he could felt the pressure of people and leadership. Jesus never lost control. You don't see a fearful Jesus. You see a Jesus just waiting, listening, in fellowship with his Father. And so waiting on the witness. There are three aspects. What does that look like in real life? There's going to be a waiting on the notification. Have faith. God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to alert you in your spirit, in your mind, in a way that you're going to get it, okay? Also, waiting on the confirmation. Not only will he notify you, but he is gracious enough to confirm it. Like I say, that Holy Ghost nagging, that repetition, that he will allow you to see it everywhere. Like I said, you'll see those fives everywhere. You'll see that next step everywhere. You know, just kind of a tapestry throughout your day or your week, your months. Also, waiting on the timing. There will be a time when you're going to wait. Jesus was waiting, 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 then he got it. You think, okay, there's a season, there's a season, there's a season, and I've known it's out there. I might have known it's out there for years. Now I got it. There's compulsion, there's faith to stand up and to take that step, and there's not fear. There's still faith, always an element of faith to please God, but there is a waiting. You've waited it out, and you've got the peace, you've got the direction, and now you've got the go. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit. We are not alone, but we have the precious Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. You lead and guide me into all truth. I am not alone. You notify me. And when you notify me, I will turn aside and see this great sight. I will hear you call my name. I will read your text. I will hear what you're saying. I'll be guided by your Spirit. I thank you for repetition, for your mercy and grace that stays with me. It leads me. It guides me again and again until I get it. I will get it, Father. I will do what you want me to do. And I will wait on your timing. I will go when you want me to go for your glory. Jesus, today is my day, the day I'm calling on your name. I need that guide in my life. Jesus, be my Lord. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. That God raised you up again. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive your love now. I receive your Holy Spirit now. You are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.